Time moves incessantly and relentlessly. With each passing moment, the world as we know it is changing, transforming before our eyes. There is a palpable feeling in the air, a strange sense that something significant is about to happen. This feeling is not just a fleeting thought, but a deep perception that the events described in the Book of Revelation may soon come to pass. We are witnessing the world changing ever more towards the scenario described in Revelation chapter 13, and this perception is both sobering and thought-provoking. As we observe the world around us, it is hard to ignore the signs of the times. Natural disasters are becoming more frequent and devastating. Wars and rumors of wars are heard in nearly every corner of the globe. Nations are rising against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Technology, once seen as a beacon of progress, now presents a double-edged sword with the potential to both connect and divide humanity as never before. In all my years on this planet, I have never seen the world as divided as in the last 5 years, especially in the past 12 months, one side against the other, with groups protesting and marching against each other. In my opinion, the world will only become more divided, and there is a logical reason for this. The year 2024 is not just an election year for America. It is perhaps an election year for the entire world. Globally, more voters than ever in history will go to the polls, as at least 64 countries plus the European Union, representing a combined population of about 49% of the world's people, are scheduled to hold national elections. 64 countries worldwide. Yes, you heard correctly. 64 countries worldwide, nearly half the world, are electing their leader this year. It is undeniable that the world is undergoing significant changes. Everything is changing. The world is heading in a new direction. It is reforming. To list some of the countries undergoing elections, the United States is one of them, as well as the United Kingdom, Pakistan, Austria, France, Germany, India, Brazil, and many others. The world is undeniably changing, and we are undeniably moving towards the Book of Revelation, moving incessantly and relentlessly towards the Book of Revelation. And there is no book that reveals prophecies like the Book of Revelation. Dr. Sidney Colet, in his book All About the Bible, estimated that about 27% of the Bible is prophecy. Although this estimate may vary depending on the criteria used to define prophecy, it provides an approximation. This means that when written, more than a quarter of the Bible, more than one in four verses, was prophetic, and there is no book that unfolds the future like the Book of Revelation. It is a book that informs and unfolds the future events that are to come and how the world you and I live in will transform and change. If you want to know what the future of the world is, open the Book of Revelation. And if you read the Book of Revelation and look at the world around you, it is almost as if the world you and I live in is setting the stage for the Book of Revelation. Let's look at 10 prophecies that are being fulfilled. Number 1. Jesus is coming quickly. Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The remaining biblical prophecies will focus on events happening directly in our world. However, I believe this first prophetic event is the most important, because some believe God is not returning quickly, but He is. And the Bible is very clear about this. Jesus is coming soon. The Bible reminds us not to be ignorant of this fact. God exists outside our concept of time. While time deeply shapes our lives and perceptions, God transcends it, as it is written. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3:8-10. What may seem like an eternity to us is but a fleeting moment to God. Just as an hour may seem like an eternity to a child, but only a brief instant to an adult. So, when the Lord Jesus declares in Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly," some may dismiss this statement because it was made thousands of years ago. However, from the Lord's perspective, time has a different meaning. The Bible is unequivocal about this matter. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:8-10. We find the heart of God revealed when we wonder about his timing or question his return. This passage reminds us that God's timeline is not like ours. Understand this: the God of the universe, the one who set the heavens and the earth in motion, will fulfill his promise without delay, but on his divine schedule. He is long-suffering. The world, the universe, the unfolding of history and prophecy revolve around his schedule, not ours. This is God's universe, not yours. This is God's timeline, not yours. Who are you to think that everything in God's universe must happen on your schedule, or you will not believe in him? The harsh truth is that God is still God, whether you believe in him or not. The harsh truth is that God will still judge you one day, whether you believe in him or not. We must not be ignorant of the fact that to the Lord, 2,000 years are like 2 days. God operates in a completely different realm, beyond human understanding. It is human presumption that attempts to put God in a box, saying that this prophecy must happen in my lifetime, or I will not believe. God operates on his schedule, not yours. God answers to no one. Jesus is coming soon, and we are reminded that God is not negligent or slow regarding his promises of return. Instead, God is long-suffering, meaning he is patient beyond our understanding, desiring that as many souls as possible repent. Let's take a step back and reflect. Many of you listening now ask yourselves, if Jesus had returned 20 years ago, where would you be? In heaven or hell? And 10 years ago, or even last year? The Lord's mercy and patience have allowed us more time to come to him. His delay has been our salvation. Consider this: as I stand before you, all around the world, souls are being saved. Someone in a remote corner of the earth is on their knees, surrendering their life to Christ right now at this very moment. And in your hometown, hearts are turning to the Savior. One by one, they are coming to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for being long-suffering with me, because only the Lord knows where I would be if it weren't for the long-suffering nature of the Lord. You may have loved ones, colleagues, friends who have not yet been saved, but one day they will come to know Christ, and God knows that, and God wants people in heaven more than you and I could ever imagine. Number 2. The rise of globalism. Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. In Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8, we are presented with a vision of a future where the Antichrist, the final world dictator, commands worship from all corners of the earth. This prophecy paints a picture of a global society united under a single ruler, a world governed by one leader. As we look at the world around us today, we see a growing trend towards increased globalism and interconnectivity that aligns with this biblical prediction. Never before in history have we witnessed such high levels of interconnectivity and interdependence among nations. The rise of global organizations and multinational corporations has facilitated this connectivity, creating a world where borders are increasingly blurred and the actions of one nation can have cascading effects across the globe. Consider the last 150 years. The world was vastly different, with communication and travel limited by technological constraints. However, in our modern era, advances in technology and communication have brought people closer together than ever before. This interconnectivity has set the stage for the possibility of a single individual wielding unprecedented global power. With each passing year, the likelihood of a single world leader emerging becomes more tangible. Efforts to establish global governance structures and international cooperation pave the way for a scenario where one person can ascend to a position of supreme authority over the entire planet. This trajectory towards global unity, while beneficial in many ways, also raises questions about the potential consolidation of power in the hands of a single figure. Number 3, the stage is set for the man of peace. Daniel 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured upon the desolate. According to Daniel 9, verse 27, the tribulation begins with the signing of a peace treaty between the Antichrist and Israel, expected to last 7 years. With the ongoing conflict in Israel, the stage is set for a figure to facilitate peace. Watch for this individual. Whoever manages to broker this treaty for 7 years is the chosen one. When the Antichrist emerges on the world stage, he will be infused with satanic power, drawing from the depths of hell. Never in history has a single individual accomplished what this first beast will achieve on earth. Never before has one person, through manipulation and deception, forced people of all social classes, great and small, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to bear a mark on their right hand or forehead. Never in history has anyone succeeded in deceiving the entire world population. Never in history has a solitary figure orchestrated a false peace that captivates nations globally like the Antichrist. The Antichrist will not only lead a political alliance, but will also be revered as divine, aided by the false prophet who performs miracles in his name, deceiving many. Never before has a single individual launched such a fierce and effective campaign against the saints, temporarily prevailing over them. The Antichrist will wage war against God's holy people, subjecting them to persecutions and martyrdoms unprecedented in history. Never in history has a malevolent figure performed extraordinary signs and wonders to the extent of calling fire from heaven in the sight of all, a feat reminiscent of the great prophet Elijah's miracles. These supernatural displays, designed to deceive even the elect if possible, demonstrate a level of power unmatched by any other historical figure. Never before has a leader manipulated the global economy to the extent that trade and commercial transactions depend on loyalty to him, symbolized by the mark of the beast. This control over economic transactions represents an unprecedented level of dominance over individual freedoms and actions. Finally, never in history has the downfall of a person been prophesied to culminate in a direct confrontation with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the Battle of Armageddon, resulting in his defeat and eternal judgment. The Antichrist's fate, as described in Scripture, sets him apart from all others who have risen to power. In light of the current division in the world, could it be that we are witnessing the stage being set for the arrival of the Antichrist? Are we observing the unfolding of the end times? Could it be that we are approaching the climax of history? Number 4, persecutions. The persecution of the saints is a grave and solemn sign of the end that we cannot ignore. In his teachings, Jesus explicitly warned about the persecution of believers, identifying it as a clear indicator of his imminent return. Throughout history, the world has indeed witnessed the oppression and torment of Christians. However, as we approach the climax of the age, this persecution is intensifying, echoing the prophetic warnings of Scripture with a crescendo of hostility. Do not be deceived into thinking that persecution is a relic of the early church, distant and disconnected from our modern experience. Look at what is happening to Christians worldwide. Research what is happening to Christians in countries like Nigeria and Pakistan. Christians in these nations are facing persecution. Even in nations celebrated for their freedom, hostility towards the gospel is growing. The recent attack on a bishop in Australia during a live sermon is not an anomaly, but a symptom a clear indication that persecution knows no bounds and respects no borders. The scriptures are clear. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Number 5. The beginning of sorrows. We are living in the beginning of sorrows, a time foretold with prophetic clarity and sobering detail. This phrase, the beginning of sorrows, refers to a period marked by a series of events, each increasing in frequency and intensity, heralding the unfolding of a divine narrative established before time. These sorrows are not mere natural phenomena or random occurrences. They are the groanings of a creation longing for redemption, the harbingers of the culmination of history as we know it. The beginning of sorrows signals a critical point in the divine timeline, a period characterized by turmoil, upheaval, and distress. This era is marked by wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Let's focus on earthquakes for a moment. The phenomenon of earthquakes increasing in frequency and intensity serves as a compelling illustration of the beginning of sorrows, a prophecy manifesting tangibly on our planet. From the early 20th century to the year 2000, seismological data has shown a sharp increase in both the number and severity of earthquakes globally. This trend is not merely anecdotal, but is supported by comprehensive data collected and analyzed by geological and seismological institutes worldwide. For example, records indicate that the frequency of significant earthquakes, those with a magnitude of 6.0 or greater, has seen a notable increase over the 20th century. The early 1900s recorded fewer than 100 significant earthquakes per decade, a number that steadily rose, culminating in several hundred such events annually by the end of the century. These sorrows mark the beginning of a period of unparalleled importance, a time when the world is being prepared for the return of Christ. These pains remind us that we are living in an era of profound challenges and unprecedented opportunities. They are a call to vigilance, to prayer, and to an ever-deepening commitment to live our faith with urgency and compassion. As we observe the world around us, it is evident that the frequency and intensity of these sorrows are indeed increasing. Number 6. People are beginning to change. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The passage from 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, reflects our society, where the behaviors described by Paul leap from the pages of the Bible into our daily lives. We are in times marked by deep self-centeredness, where self-love often outweighs empathy for others. Our culture promotes unconditional self-love as the foundation of a healthy personality, yet this fosters narcissism, overshadowing care for others. People prioritize personal pleasure over the well-being of family and community, believing the world revolves around them. This manifestation of selfishness is described in 2 Timothy. People become traitors, headstrong, haughty, and lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. The treachery, arrogance, and pursuit of pleasure stem from an overwhelming focus on the self. This fixation on the material over the spiritual leads many astray. The relentless pursuit of personal gain, often at the expense of others, reflects the prophetic warnings of a society losing its moral compass. Society calls good evil and evil good, accepting and promoting acts that were once condemned. Boasting and pride replace humility and grace, distancing people from each other and from God. This culture of self-importance obscures true community values, such as mutual support and respect. Men and women prioritize pleasure over their devotion to God. Sin and lust bring fleeting pleasures, tempting individuals to stray from God's path in search of temporary delights. Sin can transport you to a metaphorical place filled with sunshine and roses, but only for a moment. This fixation on the here and now, on the material rather than the spiritual, leads many to choose the fleeting pleasures of sin over the promise of eternal life with God. I have met individuals who acknowledge the reality of God and the need for salvation, but their love for sin and its immediate gratifications causes them to turn away from God, pursuing a life of sinful pleasures. The relentless pursuit of personal gain, often at the expense of others, mirrors the prophetic warnings of a society losing sight of its moral compass, where the incessant hunger for more becomes an endless cycle of emptiness. We live in a society that accepts, celebrates, and even promotes things that were once considered evil and are still considered sin in the eyes of the Lord. Prophecy warns that people will prioritize pleasure over God, a reality seen in the current pursuit of sensory delights over spiritual devotion.